You're listening to the latest preaching from Brixham Community Church.
But I want first of all to establish biblically what the word peace means. The word we have is different. The word peace, Hebrew, is shalom. And it has a far wider understanding than just absence from war. In fact, this is some of the descriptions of this shalom. It means harmony. It means wholeness. It means completeness. It means prosperity, welfare, tranquility. All these words are wrapped up in this word shalom. You can say it's a hello. You can say shalom when you meet somebody. You can say shalom when you say goodbye. And in one sense, it's almost like you're blessing them. It's not just a hello, goodbye. It's something far deeper. And this is the word that Hebrews used for peace. The word peace we have is kind of a bit of very old English French word joined with a bit of a Latin word. It's pax is the Latin one. Do you remember if you knew anything about Rome? It's about the peace accord, peace agreements. And this is literally, it's about peace, it's about silence, it's about having an agreement, but it tends to be an absence of strife. And that's how we think of it. So often when we think of peace, we're just thinking of this aspect of calmness, no noise, as John said, sleeping lions, where you hope the children go to sleep. All that kind of, that's our understanding of the word peace. Now the New Testament is written in Greek, the original. So that would have been translated, brought over from the Hebrew, from their understanding to Greek. And I had a chat with David earlier, and this word is spelled E-I-R-E-N-E. And I think if you said Irene, nearly right, it'll do. But I wonder if the name Irene comes from that. Now, many commentators think this word Irene that is used in our New Testament is almost synonymous, identical to this word shalom. So when we just talk about peace, there's far more than that. There's a wholeness in this word. Man's condition was darkness. If you look at the Old Testament, man's condition was darkness. But Isaiah spoke of hope. And it says this in Isaiah 9, verse 2. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." An earlier translation puts it this way. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, a light has shined upon them." So they kind of tie darkness in to be almost like being death. That's what man's condition was. But a few verses later, as we've already heard read this morning, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end." Prince of Shalom. Bear that in mind as I keep using this word, peace. Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. Not an idea, not an ideal to be aimed for, but a person. A person. How quickly can we have just peace between us, but then something else upsets you, and suddenly it's gone? How often can we have, you have a war, then you have peace. But a couple of generations afterwards, there's another war. Something we strive for, but actually, if all we have is an external peace, that's not peace at all. This is a Prince of Peace. It's a person who brings us that real living peace. How many of us need to know that internal gift of peace in the worst of circumstances sometimes? The Prince of Peace, Jesus, comes to make us complete, to make us whole, to have harmony with God, to have prosperity, to have welfare, tranquility. How many of you think when we say, I want some peace, you're thinking of all those words? What about tranquility, completeness, wholeness? I read this the other day. It said the Old Testament anticipated and the New Testament confirmed that God's peace, shalom, would be mediated through a Messiah. Peace came with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter declared to Cornelius, you know the message of God, which he sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Only real peace comes through the Prince of Peace. Everything else is going to be a shadow of what we really need, what mankind needs. And you can't separate Jesus in what the Old Testament said about he came to be a light in the darkness. He came to shine in the darkness, to shine in men's lives. But he came as the Prince of Peace because this word encompasses that. Wholeness, completeness, the best that can be. In Philippians we read, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, the shalom of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Beyond human understanding, a person living within you who is peace, who's got the best for your lives that can possibly be, more than you can imagine, and his peace can go beyond what your mind could imagine or even longs for. The hope was that a light would shine in the darkness. And I was going to look up this morning, and I forgot to do it, but there might be somebody who might know, how long before the coming of Jesus did Isaiah write the words? A few hundred years. 700 years? 700 years from when the hope was given until we read this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace, shalom, on whom God's favor rests. Jesus is the shalom that was coming, this wholeness, this completeness to bring us back to God. Can I just say, not every religion is equal. The only way to the Father is through Jesus, because he's the only one who paid the price. No matter how you think, good people, it is not the same. All roads do not lead to heaven. The only road that leads to heaven is through Calvary, and it has to begin there. And if it doesn't, there is a difference, because he's the only one that brings us out of darkness into his glorious light. I've told this story before, but I'll share it again because some people might not have heard it, and I think this time of the year it fits in so perfectly. True story. 1962, a couple, Don and Carol Richardson, wanted to be missionaries, and they felt that God was calling them to the islands of New Guinea. New Guinea is northwest of Australia. It's called Papua New Guinea now. 1962. If you talk about darkness, that island was dark, cannibalistic, headhunting. The greatest reward of chivalry is if you got to wrong side somebody, pretended you were their friend, and then when they weren't watching or when they'd let their guard down, you killed them, and then you did what cannibals did. A dark place. And this couple wanted to go and minister to them. They arrived at the island, and this has to be God, because one of the tribes took favor on them. They were called the Sawi people. And they allowed them to live on the edge of their village in a little clearing. They had a little hut built, and that's where they lived. And that's where they begin to minister. And they were there for years. And they learned the Bible stories. Do you know who their hero was? Judas Iscariot. Because he pretended to be a friend of Jesus. And then when Jesus let his guard down, he betrayed him. For them, that was the height of chivalry. How twisted, but that's where it was. And nothing seemed to change. The murders went on. The killings went on. And one day, right outside their hut, in this big clearing, a battle had taken place. Many people killed, you know, swords, amputation, all this horrific sight right outside their front door. And they went into the village and said, that's it, we're going. We're packing up. We're leaving. We cannot make any difference here. Tomorrow morning early, we are leaving. So they packed their few belongings they had, prepared to leave early the next morning, getting an early night, and that was that. But very early next morning, they heard a noise outside their hut. And as they looked out on this clearing, on one side of the clearing was the tribe that the battle had been against the day before, and on the other side was the Sawi people. And they thought, no, it's going to happen again. But they heard a woman crying and screaming, wailing, coming from the back of the Sawi people. And as they looked, the front rows of each tribe opened and a man began to walk from each side. And the man from the Sawi people, who they realized was the chief, was carrying a baby. And the other chief, and they realized, were going to meet in the middle, and they're thinking, what are they going to do to this baby? What is this all about? And as they watched, the chief of the Sawi took his child and he gave the baby to the chief of the other tribe. And they turned around, walked back to their own people, and they just disappeared into the jungle and back into the village. They had no idea what they'd seen. So they went into the village to find out. Deep in this dark, dark culture was something they called the ceremony of the peace child. The ceremony of the peace child. Deep in this dark, dark place, there was something called the peace child. And it was this. The chief of one tribe took his own child and he gave it to the chief of his enemies who took the child. The child's name was changed. It became literally one of the enemy. And as long as that child lived, there would be peace between the tribes. They wanted them to stay so much, they were willing to do that. The woman screaming and wailing was the chief's wife. It was her child who had been given away. Now in the natural, how long would the child live? We don't know. But as soon as Don Richardson heard that, he knew how he could touch this people. And he told them about the greatest chief of all, who gave his own son to his enemies, so that as long as he lived, there would be peace between this great chief and his enemies. And when he explained that Jesus died but then rose again, never to die again, he could understand that peace between God and man through Jesus would never end. You can go to the islands now and you will see churches. If God loved them so much in their darkness, somewhere in their culture, he allowed or caused something that could be redemptive for them, how much did he love them in the darkest place? And we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God's the love that he gave. We're just going to a few minute DVD clip. It's out of a film that I saw the other day. And this, I'll finish with this, and I'd like to pray at the end of it. Let me just tell you, the woman in here, her father walked out on her and the family when she was 10, 11, 12. 13, Christmas time. He walks out, doesn't see him, but it's had a dramatic effect on her life because of Christmas. It's no joy anymore. She's got a friendship with a widowed guy who's got a young daughter. And he has to go off on business, so she comes to stay with this lady. She runs out of something, food. She nips to the local store, getting close to midnight, where she gets attacked by two guys who want to steal the money. An older guy intervenes, pushes one away, but the other one knocks him out. Poor guy's missed his bus, so she brings him home to her house. And during the night, they have a snowstorm, and everyone gets stranded. Nothing's moving anywhere. And the little girl decides to put on a little nativity play. And that's where we're going to pick that up.
There's a part of the story that has become very special to me, and I'd like to read it if it's okay. And when the time came for Mary and Joseph to present the child to the Lord, they took baby Jesus to the temple. In Jerusalem, at the very same time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, and God's Spirit was upon him. And God revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went to the temple, just as the parents of Jesus brought the child to be presented before God. And Simeon, seeing the baby, took him into his arms. And he blessed God, saying, God, you can release your servant. Release me in peace, as you have promised. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation, and now it's in the open for all to see. A light for all the world.
I've never heard that part of the story before.
It's become very special to me.
The mess.
It suits you.
You're right. I'm a mess. You know, every time I think I have it worked out, something small happens and boom, I'm right back there again.
Back where?
Watching my dad leave.
Ooh, that's hard.
My whole world collapsed. I was only 10. Lucy's age. I've lived it so many times, you know, but I always feel the same way. I feel alone.
What about your mom? Was she gone too?
My mother, no, she was very much there.
You didn't get along?
We used to, but then she remarried. So.
Bad guy?
Oh, he was fine. But he wasn't my dad. I didn't want a new dad. I blamed my mom for everything. And so I moved out as soon as I could because I just wanted to get away. But then the only person around to blame was myself.
It's not your fault. You were just a kid.
That's what everyone says.
It's the truth.
The truth is, my dad didn't care enough about me. Not enough.
How can you know that?
Because I was there when he left. We just finished decorating the Christmas tree. It was beautiful. It was simple, but it was perfect. I used to like to lie under it, all curled up. And that's where I was when I heard him rush down the hall and out the front door. He didn't see me, so I went to the window. I knocked on it. He stopped, and he looked right at me. And he turned and walked away.
Have you ever tried to get in touch with him?
Why? He's the one who left. He could find me if he wanted to.
It's not always that simple. You know, your story could just as soon be mine.
Did your dad leave you?
No. It was me who did the leaving.
How could you do that?
It's complicated. My dad was all messed up. I didn't want a thing to do with him. As I got older, I started my own family. Funny thing was, I turned out just like him. The anger, the drinking, the women devastated my wife. But I couldn't bring myself to change. So I left.
You gave up.
It was the worst day of my life. But I wanted to change.
What was stopping you?
I thought it was too late. Didn't think I deserved it. And then I met a young man who told me it wasn't too late. He told me there was hope for me. And I wanted it to be true. He invited me over for dinner with his family. And he showed me. What I'd been looking for my entire life. A chance at forgiveness. A chance to change. and right then and there. I was Simeon. You heard the words in the story, like salvation. Well, I experienced it. It was like a light that went off and lit up my entire world. And it changed everything.
Did you go back to your family?
No, not yet. I'm working on that one.
But you said you changed.
And it's true. Everything about me has changed. Circumstances haven't. I'm sorting through an entire life of bad decisions.
Do you think I should look for my father?
Some things in life are worth seeking. And family is one of them.
Well, she doesn't realize in the film that that's her dad. I come back to that word that Simeon used. Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace. And he wasn't just saying, please give me a nice, comfortable death. What he was saying was, it's complete. It's finished. It's whole. The best you've done for my life is fulfilled. It's a completeness. And I just want to ask anybody this morning, if you've got areas, or you've never asked this Prince of Peace to live in you and dwell in you, to give you real meaning of life, and I want to give an opportunity, as I pray, just for you to join in that prayer. For the shalom of God that brings peace beyond our wildest dreams, to bring us completion and fulfillment, knowing that we're loved and God's highest purpose for our lives is always to work in love within us. He wants the best for us, no matter what. And what I loved about that clip was some of the last phrases. I've been changed, but I'm working through a lifetime of bad decisions. Sometimes we have to put right what we can put right. And other things, it's too late. We just have to let the grace of God cover them. So should we pray? If you want to follow this prayer in your heart, please do so. Father, I come before you this morning, and you already know everything about my life. You know about the pain, the sorrow, the joys, the regrets, the heartache. And I'm asking you, Father, this morning, that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, would come and dwell in my heart to bring me that knowledge that you love me so much that I can be a brand new person, and that you living in me brings light into my darkness. I ask you today to come and dwell in my life and fill it with your purpose, the knowledge in me that you have a purpose for my life. There is a wholeness and a completeness you want for my life that can only be found in you. I ask you to come and live in my heart, that I might be truly your child, knowing your love for me. In Jesus' name. I'd like to continue praying. Father, for each one of us, I pray that today we would know in ways we've never experienced before, that peace of God that passes all understanding. I pray that the love you have for us would so flow out of us that I would pray there'd be reconciliation between in relationships, within families, within communities, that peace of Jesus, this active peace of Jesus, would so fill us that we would become people of peace, truly sons and daughters of the living God. And that your purposes for each one of our lives would be totally and utterly fulfilled. And I just want to pray this prayer over each one of us. I only thought about it early, but it's a blessing from the Old Testament. It's the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace, his shalom, his purpose, his love. For you and all your families, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit brixham.church.